SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Aho! Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike Sims, Walker!
And we're off and running on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking NFL. A lot to get into today. Saquon Barkley activated by the New York Giants. Hunter Henry, the tight end for the Patriots, is hurt. He goes off with a shoulder injury. New Orleans Saints kicker Will Lutz will miss the start of the season. And George, I guess the biggest news coming out of training camp this weekend was today. Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson enters after a five-day hiatus. Good or bad news, I guess, for the Texans, or more importantly, the Philadelphia Eagles that were looking to trade for him?
Well, we had Adam Kaplan on the show yesterday, and he pretty much debunked the Philadelphia thing. It's a small story. They're not in active negotiations. They're not close to getting him. I'm sure they've had talks. I'm sure lots of teams have had talks about getting him, but he's not going anywhere until these things get settled. Houston would have sell him for, 60 cents on a dollar right now? And then a team might jump to get him now. Okay, we'll take a chance then. But it'll be a PR nightmare. You don't know. He's going to get suspended. It's a matter of how many games by the NFL. Do I think he's going to do jail time? Probably not. But he's going to get suspended. And we all know that. Zeke got 6 games, right, for what he did. This seems to be much worse than what Zeke did. So what's he going to get? 8, 10, 12? Is he going to play this year? I mean, there could be we could have gun odds on that. What's his over-under on games played this year? So I don't think he's going. I don't think he's going anywhere this season. Not until this is settled. If Goodell were to come out, tomorrow and say, okay, suspended for 10 games, then you could have a talk here, because at least then the teams would know when he's going to come back this year. But yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
I think what's interesting, George, is that when you just look at the Houston total for 2021 on FanDuel, in terms of wins and losses, it's set at 4. And we went through their schedule earlier on. I mean, one of the hardest schedules in the NFL, number one. And on top of that, just the type of players that they have at every level, it just seems like B-rated players throughout the list here. And they're set at a win total of under and over of 4 at minus 140. To the over. Does that shock you in any way? I mean, the fact that they set that total and juiced it to the over, because I don't even know if this team could get to 2 wins in 2021 without Deshaun Watson.
They don't have a lot of talent on this team. I mean, even with Watson, I mean, he'd win some games because Deshaun Watson's a very good player. But without him, and like I said, I can't see any way he's playing any more than 8 games. And I think even that's probably a stretch. But if you want to give them 8, who are they beating? Think about what's on this roster. Outside of Deshaun Watson, what else is a top, anywhere near a top player? It's certainly not David Johnson. He's not that player anymore. Brandon Cooks, okay, but he's got nobody with him. Conley, Collins, Anthony Miller. I mean, come on. There's nobody at tight end. Akins, Warren, there's nobody there. The defense doesn't even have J.J. Watt anymore. He's not the player he used to be anyway. So, I mean, I don't see how. How? I'm with you. I don't see how they're going to approach over 4 wins. I don't think they get the 2 either. You look at their schedule real quick here. There's no game we're going to say, okay, that's a win, because that's what everybody looks at Houston. Well, that's a win when they play in Houston. So how many games do they possibly have? What can they do in their division? They're not going to beat Tennessee. Don't see them beating Indianapolis. I don't care who the quarterback is. Jacksonville? Okay.
Not easy with Jackson, yeah, but that's not easy with Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, and Urban Meyer.
Much more talent on Jacksonville. Much more talent on Jacksonville. All right, and one of the games versus Jacksonville is week one. There's no way Watson's playing week one. So forget that. Other than that, I'm looking at the schedule now. There's no games here you're going to win. Jets, okay, Jets in week 12. I can see that happening. And theoretically, you could have Watson back by then. You get Jacksonville in Jacksonville week 15. And that's it. I would be shocked. Absolutely shocked. Unless this team gets lucky and they play a couple of COVID teams. You know, they go play, I don't know, Arizona in week 7 and Arizona's ravaged by COVID. They don't have half their starters. Okay, maybe. But other than that, there's no way they get the 4, in my opinion.
The bigger question, too, George, is without Deshaun Watson, what does this offense look like? I mean, is it more of a ground-and-pound type of offense, or is it more of a 5-wide with receivers like Brandon Cooks and Kiki Coty, the former Texas Tech standout, where they're going to stretch defenses vertically because Tyrod Taylor hasn't played in a year? So what could we expect out of him and this offense? Is it more conservative, or is it just more we're going to try and outscore teams and hope that in the end we grab a couple of victories? That's going to be the biggest question.
Agreed. And it's not good either way. Yeah, if they want to stretch it out, you know, go 5-wide. It's Cooks, Conley, Collins, Miller, Cutie, Andre Roberts. I mean, come on. You got 2 legitimate, maybe 3 at most legitimate NFL wide receivers and no number ones. Arguably 1 number 2 in Cooks. And he's really the guy who blows off the top of defense. The guy you want, because you need that kind of player. Keep the safeties honest. If you want to run up a ground and pound, okay, you got some names. David Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram. You know, Burkhead's there as well. But once again, no number ones here. This team is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it looks like a team of the replacements in terms of a B-rated league. When we come back, we'll be talking about the other teams in the NFC, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz talking all things NFL training camp. We talked about the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson. Going to turn our attention to the Philadelphia Eagles and Atlanta Falcons. When you look at Philadelphia overall, George, right here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, 6.5 win total for 2021. It's juiced to the over at -150. We talked about Nick Sirianni not naming Jalen Hurts as the starter. More importantly, what does this team do in the early part of the season? Do they have an offensive identity? Devontae Smith is out, but defensively for me is where the question marks lie, especially when you look at Fletcher Cox and the crew. This team needs to step up on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know if they can do it, and that's why I'm under their win total this season.
Now, I think Philadelphia is an interesting team. I think one of the most interesting teams in the league here. I do think you're on the right track here. I think if this team does want to compete in the NFC East, a division that we don't think is going to be, you know, there's not going to be any 12, 13-game winners here. You know, we expect once, well, last year if you got the double digits, you won with division. And no one did that. It's probably the same this year. Whoever gets the 10 first wins. So if Philadelphia, if their defense can keep them in games, I don't think they need to be truly dominant but not be terrible either. I think they can stick with these guys. But Fletcher Cox, he gets a lot of pub, but he doesn't seem to be quite – he's not a game wrecker. He's nowhere near what Aaron Donald is. Yeah, I think we expect more from
Fletcher Cox. He likes to talk, though, George. He likes to talk and open his mouth. That's the biggest thing for Fletcher Cox.
He doesn't always know how to walk the walk. That's what I mean. We hear about him, but we don't see him. He's just not quite that player. When I say not quite, but he's not really all that close to that player. But they have some other guys here. So I think that defense could be adequate. I do think it could be adequate, but I'll say it again. For Philadelphia, this is all about Jalen Hurts. All about Jalen Hurts. I don't care that Sirianni hasn't named him starter. That might just be, hey, you know, everybody's got to earn it. You know, Parcells used to do that with Dallas, right? He didn't even put stars on your helmet. You didn't get the star until you earned it. All right, so fine. That is what it is. That's just the coach being coach. Hurts is going to be a starter. They go to Flacco or Mullins, my God. All right? But this season has to be about Hurts. It has to be about Hurts because they need to find out one way or the other. Yes, he's your franchise quarterback. We don't need to go spend those number ones next year on a quarterback. No, he's not. And we do need to spend draft capital on a quarterback next year.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
They need to figure it out one way or the other. That's all.
Right, they need.
That's all the season is.
They need to know if Jalen Hurts is the guy. And I said it before, if you watch them at college, he's a gamer. He's a winner. You can't take that away from Jalen Hurts. He's much like the way Tim Tebow was at the University of Florida. He won national championships, but he did it a lot on the ground. He was basically a running back at the quarterback position at Alabama. That's why he transferred to Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley. Did complete close to 68% of his passes in his senior season. And he progressed. But if you go back to the two biggest games on their schedule that year against the Baylor Bears and Matt Rhule, who is now an NFL head coach with Carolina, they really shut him down. They shut him down and forced him into his weaknesses, and he couldn't step up. The weakness on Jalen Hurts, for the most part, is when you roll him out. He does not go through his reads and progressions properly, and I think that's where he struggles in 2021 with this offensive unit. And they're going to need the running game to be effective with Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, 867 on the ground. If he duplicates that this coming season, they're not going to be anywhere near a six-win football team. So I'm under their win total. I know FanDuel juiced it to the over, but I'm going under. Let's talk about two teams in particular, George. Let's turn our attention to Matty Ice in Atlanta. A lot of optimism here with Arthur Smith. We know Kyle Pitts. But the offensive line is still a major concern entering the season. Can they run the football effectively with Mike Davis? And keep an eye out for Louisville youngster Javion Hawkins. He's a third down type of situational back, just the way Devonta Freeman was a few years ago. Give me your early assessment on where Atlanta is for 2021.
That defense is going to be bad. We had somebody on, I forget who it was, on IGL last night, who was trying to tell me that Atlanta's going to be a playoff team and win double-digit games.
No way.
It's funny, they're going to be a playoff team, but Carolina's going to finish second, and he admitted Tampa's going to run away. So there's going to be three teams coming out of the NFC South. Okay, yeah, that's going to happen. Atlanta's going to be, I think, a fun team to watch, a sort of a fantasy team. You want overs? You want your props to go over? Hey, look at Atlanta. They're going to be sort of the Cowboys of last year, which they were in their own right. They're going to give up 30 points a game. They're going to have to try and score 30 points a game. Maybe 40.
Right.
Ryan's going to throw the ball all over, up and down the field. Calvin Ridley should have a big season. And that's great. It's going to look good. It's going to look fun. But I don't know how many games they're going to win. It ain't going to be much. I mean, that defense is bad. It's a work in progress here. I would not have drafted Pitts. This is nothing against Pitts. I think he's going to be great. Hall of Famer, whatever. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They have other needs. I would have drafted a tight end at number four here. So I think there are all sorts of issues here. I know their schedule is not super tough, as far as these other teams who want away with the over-under here. But I just don't see it. With that defense, I don't see how they can do it. The running game, okay, it's sort of interesting with Mike Davis. But he's no one's answer. Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Elliott, anyone like that. Derrick Henry.
He's not really a dual threat. He's not really a dual threat. He's a grounder and pounder. I mean, had a very successful career at South Carolina. I guess the biggest question that you have to ask yourself for Atlanta is, you said they're not going to win a lot of games. Well, FanDuel sort of disagrees because their win total is set at 7.5 in 2021. It's minus 130 to the over. And when you talk about their defense right now, George, I agree with you. They were dead last in the NFL in terms of yards per game, 293 passing yards per game allowed. You're not going to win games that way, especially when your MO is to outscore teams. That's what Atlanta did. They looked to outscore teams every step of the way. Now, you could go to a couple of games where they played well. Yes, they went on the road to Kansas City and lost a very tight ball game at the end of the year. Was Kansas City just walking through the motions at that particular standpoint? That remains to be seen. I don't know if they can do that in terms of a 17-game schedule. And if you think about it, if you're taking the over, realistically, we're saying that this team is a .500 team for the most part at 8-9 overall. I don't know if they can get there. And they do have manageable games. But the question is twofold. Can the offensive line hold up? Can Matty Ice stay healthy? Because he gets hit a number of times. He's one of the most hit quarterbacks in the NFL. So do we feel at his age, his body can hold up without the running game to take the pressure off?
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. And I think the... You know, you said it, their schedule is actually one of the better schedules that we've gone over. As far as it's not brutal, there are a lot of manageable games, and I put that in quotes. They're manageable games there, but teams are going to look at Atlanta and go the same, think the same thing. Okay, that's a manageable game. Atlanta's not better, or at least not immensely better than Philadelphia over Giants. They play these two teams two of the first 3 weeks. Washington in week four, Jets in week five. If Atlanta really wants to have 8-9, 9-8 season or better, they got to take advantage of the first 5 weeks before they go on their bye. Yeah, they play Philly at Tampa. We're going to assume that's a loss. At Giants, Washington, Jets. You got to go, what, right, minimum 3-2? You got to take advantage of that. Go 3-2. If they go 2-3, 1-4, well, it's all what the crime before the season even starts here when the schedule gets a little tougher. What are they going to do in their division? You got to probably you're going to lose to Tampa Bay twice. You got to go, what, 3-3? You know, to really get there, that's not going to be easy. They're not better than Carolina. We know New Orleans has problems, but by the time they play New Orleans, Michael Thomas should be back. Their first game against New Orleans is November 7th. That's all week 9. So we expect Michael Thomas to be back there, so you won't get the advantage there. And no matter who the quarterback is for New Orleans, they have more talent than you do right now. I don't know what's going to happen 8 weeks into the season, who gets hurt. So, like I said, Atlanta's not, I don't think they're a terrible team. I don't think they're, you know, a 2-15 team. But to get it with 7.5, as you said, be pretty much a 500 team, I don't see that.
Me neither. I don't see that either. I think you're going to need a monumental effort. And when you talk about Kyle Pitts, we're not taking away from his athleticism, but you just look at the tight ends that have been successful in the NFL. Kittle, Tanyan, Logan Thomas, Kelsey, all later round draft picks or free agents. When we come back, we'll be talking about Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Rocking and rolling right here on Pro Football Full Circle, talking about Atlanta and Philadelphia. Going to talk about Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. Remember the optimism surrounding the New York Jets this year? Zach Wilson is the quarterback of the future. He's the face of the franchise. Gets involved in training camp, two big picks, and all of a sudden the New York media, George, all over Zach Wilson. I said it before, I think there's going to be growing pains in year one. I think he'll struggle with reads and progressions, and you better hold your horses. I'm not sure Zach Wilson is still the right quarterback for this scheme, this team entering the season. I would have taken Justin Fields.
You know, I had a buddy call me last night, and now he's calling about the Mets, you know, and how things are going. And then he goes, you know, and the last thing he goes is, and it's not going to get any better for the Jets in football season either. I'm like, no. But this season is all about Zach Wilson for the Jets. I mean, you got to, because I agree with you. They got to find out, is he the guy? He better be the guy, right? You knew you weren't getting Lawrence. You knew you weren't getting him, and you had the second pick, so you get anybody else. All that studying you had to do, all that, you had to get this right. So for Jet fans, I truly hope he's the right guy. Truly hope. Do I know for sure? Am I going to tell you absolutely? No, I don't. But there's a lot of interesting things going on in Jets camp here. I mean, you got Zach Wilson. All of a sudden, Denzel Mims has been dropped to sixth on the depth chart for the Jets. What's going on there?
Yeah, you tell me. He was supposed to be that big play threat coming out of Baylor, remember? They didn't utilize him correctly.
No, but to all of a sudden drop... He's almost third-team offense all of a sudden. Did he tick off Soleil? I mean, what's going on here? So that's a little strange. I know Saleh didn't draft him, but the GM did. You know, Douglas did. So it's not like it's a completely different regime there. So that's strange. Is he not getting along with Zach Wilson? Is this a no chemistry? I mean, what's going on there? So strange. I know Mims had some issues coming out. That's why he dropped from the draft last year, too. So I think that could be a problem for the Jets here. But it's all about Zach Wilson. Getting him comfortable. I thought they made a mistake waiting so long to get a veteran in there to help him out. You know, once again, that's all the season is, to find out about Zach Wilson. And it's not like, when I say to find out about Zach Wilson, it's not like Jalen Hurts, where it's almost boom or bust because then you move on here. The Jets are going to give him a couple of years.
Oh, without a doubt. You take him second overall, you got to give him a couple of years. The biggest question is, what does this offense look like? Because what was Adam Gase trying to build the offense around? I don't think anybody knows at this point. When you just look at that offense and look at last year with Sam Darnold, Joe Flacco, they had no identity. So the identity now is you draft Michael Carter, you draft Elijah Moore, right? Okay, so you have big play, chunk type of players that can get yards after catch, yards after contact. Are we going to rely on the defense with this team this year? Or are we going to say we have the young gunslinger, we're going to throw caution to the wind, and we're in a complete rebuild anyway? I mean, FanDuel set their total at 6. I don't think there's any shot this team gets to 6 wins this coming season at minus 115 to the over. I'm taking the under with them. But give me your assessment about that. What do you feel this team looks like?
Well, first off, you're right. I've got the under as well. It's one of my favorite unders. There's no way they get the 6. I would be shocked if they get 6 wins. God, if they do, hey, congratulations. But I'd be shocked. I think it's a work in progress. They're not going to throw them up and down the field. That's not what Saleh wants to do. It's not what he's coached. What do they have the running game to really take the pressure off? It really depends on what you think about Michael Carter. Is he that guy? And I just don't think he is. I think he's going to be a nice running back. Tevin Coleman, you know, that little utility knife. You know, it does a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but nothing all that great. Ty Johnson, spell both. LaMichael Perrine. I mean, these are Jags. Other than Michael Carter, who could be more than a Jag, those guys are just Jags. You know, there's nothing there. They don't have a number one wide receiver. They have names that we all know. You know, Corey Davis, Crowder, Keelan Cole from Jacksonville. We'll see what Elijah Moore can do. The rookie, the tight ends. Herndon was a complete bust last year. We thought he'd be better. Croft, Griffin, some veterans there, but nothing special. That's the problem here.
That is the problem.
This offense.
I agree with you. And let's dive a little bit deeper into Michael Carter, a dynamic running back. He really is, with Javonte Williams last year at North Carolina, averaged well over 4.5 yards per carry. But they were a product of an elite passing game led by Sam Howell. That's the difference. You see, I don't think a lot of people recognize when you spread defenses out with 5 wide and you're attacking them vertically on every play, of course there's going to be running lanes open for the running backs. Now, their claim to fame at the end of the year is Javonte Williams and Michael Carter both rushed for 554 yards combined against the Miami Hurricanes. These are explosive. Both of those backs were explosive players. So Carter does have that big play capability. He could also catch the football out of the backfield. Here's the only hitch. You can't expect Michael Carter to be that explosive back if every throw by Zach Wilson is short to intermediate. If he's going to look for Chris Herndon over the middle and everything's going to be to the flat and you're not going to challenge deep and vertically with Elijah Moore, teams are going to stack the box against Carter and say, okay, Zach Wilson, let's see what you got right now. Because you're not showing us anything. And that is the one thing I think when you look at Zach Wilson, yes, he does have a strong arm. However, when you look at his game at BYU, his safety net was just like Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. The check down was the tight end. So the tight end is going to be big in this offense for New York because that's his safety blanket. He doesn't feel confident enough, in my opinion, to go deep on each and every play. And that's the difference, I think, that when you look at Trevor Lawrence, when you look at Justin Fields, they are deep ball throwers. And that's the difference between them and Zach Wilson right now. He's going to roll out. He's going to look to improvise. He's going to throw those 15 to 20-yard passes. But anything over 20-plus, I think he'll struggle with this season.
I would probably agree. It's going to be a work in progress. That's what I keep saying. This is what the season is about. to make him comfortable, find out what he does well, you know, find out what the talent does well here. That you have to throw the ball deep in the NFL. You have to, because you have to get teams to respect the deep ball to get those safeties a few yards off the line of scrimmage. Because you don't want eight guys in the box over and over again. Jets offensive line is improving, but it's not going to beat up an eight-man box, and that running game is not good enough to do it either. So they have to take advantage of that. But like I said, for the Jets, I don't think it's about wins and losses. It's all about, to me, it's always about the quarterback when you draft a young one. Developing right. him. The Jets are they're not going to win that division. They're not going to the playoffs. They're not winning a wild card. They're not doing any of that. They need to grow with Wilson. And it's not just a one-off season thing. You'll see what you have this year. Okay, what do we need? Maybe you need a Brandon Cooks type next year. A guy who just blows the top with DeSean Jackson. Going to blow the top off defenses. You know, a guy they have to respect.
Not DeSean Jackson. If the Jets went for DeSean Jackson.
I'm not saying
right.
DeSean
Jackson.
Right,
he's old.
A type.
I still can't believe they teams deal for DeSean Jackson. What does he give you? You can't get a kid that's 24, 25 that runs a 4.3, 40? I mean,
you can.
What's the difference? What's the difference at this point between John Ross and DeSean Jackson? Forget the careers. I'm talking right here, right now. What's the difference between both players?
Respect. Defenses will respect DeSean Jackson. Whether or not he's better than Ross or somebody else, maybe not. But they'll respect DeSean Jackson because they know what he's there to do. So it automatically makes a safety backup. Automatically. That's what it is. Sure. You know, I'm with you. I don't think DeSean Jackson's all that great, but everybody knows him. And everybody knows what he's going to do. You know, it's like when you play any sport. What are you worried about being made foolish of? And DeSean Jackson running right by you makes you look foolish. Get you on all the Sports Center top 10 highlights. So that's right. Why teams, in my mind, will go for the name rather than the player who might be better, but who doesn't have a name. That player doesn't get as much respect.
I agree with that. I think also, too, when we look at just Zach Wilson as a whole and we talk about the New York Jets, it is going to be a learning curve. We talked about his props, George, in terms of where he needs to be this season. I mean, a high total for him. I mean, 37.50 plus, that is a lot. For year one, I mean, to come in and hit the ground running for Zach Wilson, I just think that, 38.50 and a half. That's even high. That's 3,900 yards roughly. In year one, come on. That is a huge number FanDuel set at -112 either way.
Well, it's 227 yards a game. Now, remember, 3,850 is probably really the equivalent of 3,700 in a normal year, right, with 16 games. All right, so we got to take that down a little bit. 227 a game doesn't sound like all that much. I agree with you. I think it's going to be tough. I think the theory here is this. Jets going to be trailing. Going to be trailing a lot. A lot of passes going in the second half. I think that's where they're going with here. I'm with you. I doubt he gets that total first. You'd have to think he's going to play all 17 games, which is iffy at best. And that he's going to be somewhat productive, iffy at best. And then, you know, injuries taking effect as well. Maybe he doesn't play 17. Maybe COVID comes and takes away some of his receivers. You never know what's going to happen here. I would take the under as well.
Yeah, I lean to the under there. And I think this is a 2 or 3 year rebuild. I think in year number one for the coaching staff, you have to challenge and develop a team that really matches up well against the better teams in your own conference. We've heard coaches come on and break it down. You can't worry about a Super Bowl until you take care of business in your own division. So you need to really go out and challenge the best team, which is the Buffalo Bills. You need to develop an offense and defense that could challenge them in year two or year number three. That's really what we're looking for here out of Zach Wilson. Can the offense move the football against the best teams within your conference? If you can do that in year one, you're way ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As you said, it's a 2 to 3 year process here. The Jets aren't going to fix everything in 1 year. They're just not. You have to keep building on what makes this team tick. And the Jets don't know what makes this team tick yet. And they don't have all the pieces in place yet. So I think it's unfair to really get on too much here. I just don't expect much this year. I don't. I think this could be a 3-4 win team.
The stories are always continuing in New York. When we come back, it's the Bengals and Pats. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation of the AFC, talked about the Jets and Zach Wilson. Gonna look at Joey Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Big day in practice. Hit his teammate from LSU, Ja'Marr Chase, hooked up with T. Higgins. A lot of expectations about this offense, George. But you know me, I always look at the head coach, and Zach Taylor's a dud. He's going to be out of the league next year. Should have never have gotten this job in Cincinnati. Keep an eye out for Luke Fickell. I think there's a potential fit for the team moving forward in 2022. Fickell does coach the Cincinnati Bearcats. Challenged Georgia last year, one of the best teams in the group of five. Give me your thoughts early about Zach Taylor. Can we expect consistency out of the Cincinnati Bengals, especially in September?
Can you expect consistency? Well, maybe consistently not so good. I mean, what are we hearing about the Bengals right now? They're worried because Burrow, right after coming off the surgery, he is still not there as far as getting over it. And what I mean by that is it looks like he's worried about bodies falling at his feet. You know, so he's worried about being hit there. I think he'll get over that. He might need to take a hit. You know, maybe not on the knee, but in the thighs. Take a low hit. Realize, oh, I'm okay. I survived. Let's go play some football. That sort of thing. But his teammates have said that he looks like he's aware of it, and that's never a good thing. All right? It's like being aware of the rush. When you're looking at the rush rather than looking downfield, not a good thing. Generally, it happens with older quarterbacks, not so much younger ones. So he's got to get past that. Now, I'm going to assume he does. I think this is a team like so many others. Sort of like the Falcons, sort of like maybe the Cowboys from last year. Offensively, looks good. Looks good. I mean, they might have the best receivers, group of receivers in football. Boyd, Chase, Higgins, Tate. You know, Mike Thomas, nice. Tight ends need some work, but hey, it is what it is. Mixon's a more than a capable running back here. Offensive line, okay, work in progress, but getting better. Defense, that's the issue. I think it's a lot. Once again, I think it'll be a fun team to watch. A lot of points coming here, but they're not ready to compete with the Ravens, you know, the Browns, over Steelers for that matter. They might steal a game here and there from one of those teams because they can put up points on any given day. Maybe they play a better brand of defense that day, but to be consistently on good on defense, no. You know, I think once again, you want to build up Joe Burrow's confidence, get the offense around him. Yeah, I would have drafted Sewell for this team. You know, and when I say this, this is nothing against Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's going to be great. I just would have drafted Sewell. Offensive line's been a problem for you. Boyd and Higgins would have been fine as your receivers here. You sort of get with an embarrassment of riches. And I think it might have made Burrow, I know him and Chase have a relationship, play together. I get it. But I think he needed that offensive lineman. I think if there's one surefire guy in the draft, by the way, that's going to be a Hall of Famer, it's Sewell. That's another reason why I would have gone that direction. Schedule, yeah, I don't think it's terrible. I don't. You know, you open up against Minnesota. I know you like them a lot. So do I. But they are their issue. Chicago's beatable. Pittsburgh is beatable. Jacksonville, you know, Green Bay. Okay, that's a loss. And they're playing Detroit. Jets are in there in the first half. I could see this team, what are they, at their first nine games, going 4-5. I could see that. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen, but I could see it. This is a team that's building, but I completely agree with you. Who is the next head coach? Because I don't think Zach makes it past the year either.
Well, that's the biggest question, George, is that you mentioned Joe Burrow, right? He is conscious of the knee. He's conscious of being hit low. Why didn't they go for Penei Sewell to solidify that offensive line? That's what I don't understand. When you just look at big picture, they had an opportunity, and I understand the quarterback to wide receiver relationship with Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase a couple of years ago where he led that team to the national championship. He averaged 21.4 yards per catch. He threw 60 touchdowns. I understand that. But you had T. Higgins there. You have Boyd there. You didn't really need to reach up and get Ja'Marr Chase where you picked him. You could have taken and solidified that offensive line first to protect Joe Burrow and still gotten a quality wide receiver later in the draft. You could have made a deal for a player like a Devontae Smith. You could have made a player a deal for a Rashad Bateman later if you wanted to trade up. That's what I don't understand is, why did they take him right there if there are concerns about Burrow and his confidence? You need to monitor that early on. As that coaching staff, you need to understand, okay, where is Burrow physically, but more importantly, where is he mentally with the injury? And you need to understand that, because if this team has any success, it's going to be with Joe Burrow being 100%. And let's not forget that Joe Burrow is a mobile guy. He'll tuck it and run if it's not there. Is that going to be a part of his game early on in this offense? Because if it's not, they're going to be one-dimensional in that regard. And teams are going to blitz him and blitz him often and say, Joe, let's see if the knee is 100%. And that is a huge cause of concern, because if that creeps into his mentality early, that can be a factor where he might get hurt again. And that is definitely what you don't want if you're a Bengal fan.
I think it's a great point. That's why I said it's something you generally see in older quarterbacks who have been hit 1,000 times where they start seeing the rush. If he's seeing it now in year two, that's not good. He's worried about bodies falling at his feet. You're a quarterback. You're always going to have bodies falling at your feet. Right? That's just the way it is. You got unlucky last year. Right? You just got unlucky to have that kind of hit that did that kind of damage last year. So he's got to get over it, and the sooner the better here. And I think we're both in agreement here. We both would have taken Sewell. This is nothing against Chase, but wide receiver was not an area of need for your team. I said, Boyd, Higgins, you had a good group there. You could have drafted a receiver later. And Chase may be an all-time great, might be, but so was Sewell. And that's a position you needed. And those positions are hard to find. I sort of wonder this. You know, I'm the Cowboy fan here. And Jerry Jones, for a long time, he always neglected the offensive line because it's not sexy. You can't sell it. You can't sell drafting an offensive line. I don't care how good the guy is. You know, you can sell Jamar Chase. You can't sell Sewell, and I wonder if that played into it as well. I wonder if they actually asked Burrow. I wonder this at the time. Did you ask Burrow? Listen, I think we're taking an offensive lineman for you or Chase.
All right, wait, hang on. Right, they don't technically ask Aaron Rodgers, the MVP Super Bowl winner, but they're going to ask Joe Burrow, the second-year guy? That would be a huge discrepancy from what the Green Bay Packers are to what the Cincinnati Bengals are. Wouldn't you agree with that?
It would, and I assume they didn't ask. But we have heard other quarterbacks say, yeah, I was asked, that are not anywhere near Aaron Rodgers' territory. So it could happen. Right. I assume the Bengals didn't. I think this is, once again, more about flash. You wanted Jamar Chase. You know, he does have a relationship with Burrow, so you are going to make him happy in that way. But I would have liked to have known, well, what Burrow's opinion would have been. Would he have rather had the protection or the extra weapon?
Right. Now, 6.5 is their total. You actually get positive value, plus 100 to the over. If you're taking the under, it's minus 120. I'm on the under. I don't know if Burrow gets there in 2021 in terms of his player prop. Very high, over 4,000 yards, George. It's really high. I mean, if he's seeing the rush at 42.49.5, so 42.50 gets you the over, minus 112. You're taking the under or over with Broadway Joe Burrow.
I think they're going to have to throw a lot. I think this is one where I want to say the over, but I wouldn't take it now.
Yeah.
You know, I'd wait. I want to see that Burrow looks better. I want to see him in preseason. And I don't know if he's going to play preseason games.
I agree with that. I want to make sure he's 100%. Right? Exactly. You want to make sure he's 100%. We talked about Hunter Henry, George, being hurt in practice. I think he's going to have a huge part of that offense, but not a good sign early on. He has an MRI today on that shoulder. Janu Smith is there, but I think this is an area in need. That's why they got both tight ends, but they're going to go to the tight ends early and often, especially when they play the teams from a defensive perspective that step up, teams like Miami and Buffalo respectively. So I think right here, right now, if we're looking at the Patriots and we're looking at Cam, I know Cam's confident, this is his team, I would roll the dice on Mac Jones. I would be all in on Mac Jones. Because he's the younger quarterback, had a better completion percentage. He's a winner. I know Cam has the athleticism, has the tools. But if that arm is the way it was at the end of last year, where he's pushing the football, to me, there's no way this team's going to win 5 games in 2021.
If Henry is out, and what we're seeing here is that the Patriots are optimistic. They always are. All teams are optimistic that the MRI is not going to show anything. They do admit the injury is painful, but that they don't expect it to show anything. I find that weird. Generally, this pain is a problem. But we'll see. But if he's out, it's devastating. Because they're backing up a two tight end offense again, right? With Henry and Janu Smith, that's sort of going to be like what they had with Gronk and Hernandez back in the day. Now, those two are not anywhere near what Gronk and Hernandez were, but that's what they're hoping for here. You added Nelson Aguilar, but, you know, it's Nelson Aguilar. we're not talking, you added eight great wide receiver here. You didn't. So that's a problem. Your running backs are nothing special here. You know, I don't think Cam's the guy. I've thought this for years. I think he's a great athlete, not a great quarterback. And since he doesn't really run as much now, he's older, taking so many hits, has the concussion problems. He's just not the guy you want here. I don't know what Mac Jones is going to do much either with these weapons. I guess the problem here, I think the defense, everyone that returned that was, took off last year for COVID, a lot of these guys are back now. I think the defense will be much better. But the offense, I just can't believe this is a New England Patriots offense. I mean, you think about this. Who's your top offensive player here?
Well, I mean, top offensive player, you can make the argument is Damian Harris, right? The running back, you can make the argument it's Jacoby Myers. And I agree with you. Jacoby Myers, great wide receiver out of NC State. But he is not a number one. You know, N'Keal Harry was supposed to be that number one. That was the guy they took a couple of years ago at the end of the first round, right? Big body, 6'2", 6'3", big, 220. Could take the top off opposing defenses, very physical and bump and run coverage, has not lived up to expectations. And to be honest with you, his game at Arizona State was good, but he wasn't going up against elite defenders in the conference. He wasn't going up against SEC competition. When you compare N'Keal Harry to some of the wide receivers that came out in this year's draft, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, he's not even close in terms of his route running ability. He doesn't snap off routes. He's not smooth, and he loses speed when he comes out of cuts. That's the biggest thing, and that's the problem with his game. So if that's who you were banking on to lead this offense and be your big play threat, it just wasn't happening. He's more of a hybrid type of tight end than he is a pure number one at this standpoint.
I would agree. I think this team has all sorts of issues. I think the defense is good as a playoff caliber defense, but I don't think the offense is anywhere near that.
Expose Belichick, though? Does this really expose him? Expose him in the sense of, we always knew they were the chameleon, right? With Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, they can morph into any type of offense. Well, Brady goes out and wins a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, and now look what we have. What do we have in New England? We have like a shell of the team that we had previously, and he was one of the most, in terms of management, he built teams from the ground up, right? Because of the way he could draft multiple players that fit a number of different needs. Where are those players now, George?
It's definitely, Tom Brady, we know he's the greatest of all time. He didn't have to play quite with this level of talent.
Does it expose Belichick? And McDaniels a little bit?
I think it does. I mean, but it could also be a coincidence that they just haven't got it right the last couple of years. For whatever reason, they're not getting it right. They spent a lot of money this offseason, like, to try and get better. And I do wonder this. Where'd that money go? You spent a lot of money, but where'd it go? You don't look all that much. You don't look all that great. You're not with the Bills. I don't think you're as good as Miami right now. You're a third-place team in this division. You know, so that's why, once again, give it to Mac Jones. Find out about him. Forget Cam.
When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Today's show, we talked about the Cincinnati Bengals. They're 3.5-point underdogs week number one to my Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins. You look at the total right now on FanDuel, George, set at 48.5 minus 110. Either way, one of the higher totals for week number one. There's no way I'm not taking the Vikings because I believe in this team. I told you about their off-field additions in terms of the draft. But I'm sort of liking this over, too, at 48.5. Even if Joe Burrow does see is like a deer in the headlights, let's just say, week number one, that can lead to turnovers, which can lead to points in this matchup.
Yeah, I think once again, if you force me to bet right now, I would take Minnesota anyway. I like that spread.
The gun's to your head, George. The gun's to your head. I'm forcing you to bet. What do you got?
I don't need the gun to my head for Minnesota. I'll take that either way. I would. The gun to my head was probably for the over right now. I'd like to see Burrow play. I don't really care much for preseason football. I do watch it. It'll be on, all over the TV on NFL Network once the game starts. So those games replaying all week long, all day. But I only really pay attention for two reasons. Battles, starting battles between two players, and injuries. And Burrow is someone I absolutely want to see play. I want to see how
he
looks.
Is week one, George. This is week one matchup. I mean, he better play week one, right? In terms of that?
Oh, he'll play week one. I think he'll play at some point during the preseason. At least I hope he does. I'd like to see it. Maybe they protect him. Maybe he doesn't. We've all heard a bunch of quarterbacks who aren't going to play already. Although Tom Brady is going to play this weekend.
That is intriguing to me because it just shows how much he's always dialed in. The guy just loves playing football. Isn't that half the battle right there? I mean, you love what you do. You never work a day in your life.
Damn right. Listen, I think I've talked to you before. When he was at New England, I didn't really care much for Brady. But ever since he's left New England, you see his personality. I'm enjoying Tom Brady. He's enjoying life. You see his sense of humor. Go, Tom, go.
George and I are going to be breaking down all the preseason games this coming Saturday and Sunday. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.